Stuffocation, Living More with Less. Written by James Woolman and read by Chris Dyer. One Monday morning in September 2010, a man by the name of Ryan Nicodemus woke up in a room that was bare except for a bed. Outside, the sky was blue. There was a light breeze. People were starting the week, sipping coffee, getting in their cars, driving north for Dayton, south for Cincinnati. It was a day like any other. Nicodemus, a square-jawed Irish-American who could pass for the movie star Ben Affleck, sat up and squinted. There was no bedside lamp or table, no pictures, nothing except for the bed he'd slept on and the sheets he'd slept under. He pulled the sheets back and padded across the carpeted floor, past the empty wardrobes, into the hallway. The house was stripped bare. The only thing in it was an eerie sound. "It was really strange," Nicodemus recalls. "Like silence, but very echoey." If you had been there, waking up alone in that house, you would have thought you'd woken up in some sort of surreal dream in a strange house the day after the owners had moved out and left all their things in boxes and bin bags at the foot of the stairs. Nicodemus went down and picked up a box. He read the label, "Miscellaneous Number 7," and put it to one side. He picked up another, "Kitchen Junk Number 2," and did the same. He kept going till he found "Bathroom Number 1. He rummaged inside. He pulled out shower gel, toothpaste, toothbrush. He started on the bags till he found and took out one towel. He tied the bags closed, he shut the boxes, and he went upstairs to shower. As water washed over him, Nicodemus wondered, how did it feel? Odd? Better? Was a home with no stuff better or worse? This wasn't a dream, you see. It was an experiment. At the time, Nicodemus was 28 and doing well. He had a girlfriend, a house, a job. He was making over $100,000 a year managing stores for a telecoms company called Cincinnati Bell. He liked what he did. He liked the people he worked with. He got a kick out of seeing his employees develop and helping them sell one or two more things so they could make their bonus or win that incentive trip to Hawaii. He wore Brooks Brothers suits, $300 shoes, and $100 ties. He had 100 $100 ties. At the weekend, he went off-roading on an $8,000 four-wheeler with his buddies. He played Xbox and watched movies on his top-of-the-line 53-inch Samsung TV. He drove a brand-new metallic blue Toyota Tacoma, one of those big boys' toys that looks like a life-size Tonka truck.
"If you told my 18-year-old self what I was going to have at 28, Nicodemus says now, "I would have been the most excited 18-year-old there ever was. I would have been like, are you kidding me? This is going to be the best life ever."
But 10 years later, it did not feel like the best life ever. Nicodemus was not happy. Instead, he was confused.
"I almost felt," he says, "ungrateful, because I had everything I'd always wanted."
At first, he kept plugging away, working, spending, hoping the feeling would go. But no matter how much he earned and how many things he bought, he could not shake it. Then a thought occurred to him. Maybe there had been a mistake. Maybe the happiness equation was wrong.